Hey friend, it's Stephanie Radcliffe, your host of the Stories Begin at Home podcast. I'm a homeschool mom of five from Florida, fixing up a charming 1950s home in the center of our city, adventuring with my wildlings and embracing a natural learning, living is learning lifestyle. I know firsthand the overwhelm and informational overload that we can find ourselves in these days regarding education and parenting choices. I created this space so we could inhale and exhale together. We'll chat all things homeschool, natural learning, gentle and respectful parenting, and faith-filled motherhood. But don't let any of those terms deter you. We don't judge a book by its cover over here, and all are welcome. Let's embrace our unique family stories and grow in confidence as we learn to trust ourselves and our children. So grab your coffee or tea, listen as you do dishes or change another load of laundry. Take a deep breath, grab a pen, literal or figurative, and let's rewrite freedom, joy, and connection in our homes and homeschools. All stories begin somewhere. Let's make ours begin at home. It was such a blast chatting with Elizabeth over on Instagram at Sunshine in My Nest about cultivating healthy physical and spiritual habits. We dive in to chat a bit about simple routine habits for kiddos and for ourselves to establish healthy routines with visuals and gentle boundaries. We chat about her new book with @ReadKaleidoscope over on Instagram, Shadows of the King, the story of 1 and 2 Samuel, and her personal story about how she came to write it and what she learned through it. She gives great insight about lowering our overwhelm level as moms with tips about AirPods and headphones for lowering our stimulation, and finding the right time for everyone to delve into God's Word together and separately. Finding quiet for ourselves, but also letting our kiddos see us in God's Word, even when it's loud and crazy. We end with Elizabeth's profound words reminding us that our accomplishments don't equal our worth, and how our habits are not about our self-worth or identity, but rather leading us to the one true hope in Jesus. Elizabeth is so authentic and full of encouragement and wisdom. I hope you'll check out our chat and enjoy it as much as we did. One more thing. Something that helps this podcast and helps to spread the word so that other mamas looking for encouragement and natural learning, gentle parenting, and faith-filled motherhood can find us is by leaving a review. Scroll down past the episodes on your Apple Podcasts and you can find where to click for leaving a review. If you prefer Spotify, click on the three dots right under the Stories Begin at Home icon on the main show page and you can rate the show. I hope you can take the time to tell us what you're loving about the podcast, and I'm so thankful you take the time to do so. You can always share the show or a specific episode with a friend too. You can follow the show so you're notified when new episodes are published. And you can follow along over on Instagram at Stories Begin at Home as I post when new episodes are published and share all things natural learning, gentle parenting, and faith-filled motherhood over there as well. You can also join the Stories Begin at Home email list. I'm beyond thankful for your support. So for real this time, let's dive in to the episode. Okay, let's dive in. Thanks so much for joining me tonight. I'm so excited to chat with you. It's always so encouraging. So tell us a little bit about yourself. And yeah, speaking of laptop, if I'm looking down, I'm looking at notes because I can rabbit trail if I don't. So tell us about yourself and your family and your journey to writing your first book. It's great to talk to you about it.
Yeah. So I'm Elizabeth Santelman. I am the mama behind the account Sunshine in My Nest. I'm a homeschool mom who also grew up being homeschooled. And we have three little boys. We live in Oklahoma, and every day is a wild adventure.
I hear you on that. I feel that in my soul. yes, same over here with the wild adventure. Okay, so I was going to tell everybody, I feel like it's just like such a small world. Because you and I connected on Instagram, and then I didn't even realize that you were worked with or were connected with Kaleidoscope. And then I did a little giveaway with them in some of their books. So Chris Ammon over at Read Kaleidoscope was in our wedding. He was a very good friend of my husband's and in our wedding. He was a groomsman in our wedding. So I just love to tell that story because it was like, I connected with you and then Chris and I did that giveaway and then I found out you were riding with them. I was like, oh my gosh, what a small world.
Yeah.
So I love that. And actually his brother and his wife, they live in Tampa, and my husband and I used to live in Tampa and we used to hang out with them all the time before we had kids.
Wow.
So amazing. Yeah, so small world, I love it.
So I can't wait to hear from you. We're going to talk tonight, pretty simple stuff, but I want to hear from Elizabeth about creating a home with healthy habits, not only physically, but spiritually with our kids. And if you guys don't follow Elizabeth, her Instagram feed is always super encouraging about all of this. So definitely do that. But what would you share with us about this?
Yeah, so it kind of ties back to the roots of why I came and went public on Instagram. I had just had, or was pregnant with our second son, and I'm feeling kind of disconnected because nap times chop up your life so much. It's really hard to get out. And I had some great friends. I'm extremely extroverted though, like extremely extroverted. And somehow I tend to attract introverts as friends. And so the amount of time that I need them is more than what they need me. And so there was an element of the friendship aspect, but also I struggled some with what I thought at the time was postpartum depression. But it ended up, I had some pretty extreme nutrient deficiencies. My doctor blood tape panel done, and I was anemic and vitamin D deficient, like all the things that give you energy was gone. And so I ended up, I'm Enneagram 4. And so I ended up hacking my own personality by realizing if I created something beautiful, it inspired me to do more work. So I would decide I wanted to take a picture of something in our kitchen, and I would clean the whole kitchen, and then I could get a picture. And so a way of reverse engineering for myself, like the creative and the artistic side of things. And so the sunshine in my nest was like, literally, that was my project. Like I was trying to find, like when my house was a mess, everything was crazy, I was trying to keep two small humans alive. Like what was the one bright spot that I could find for? And so I feel like life has evolved and changed a bit since then. I feel like, so in March, I passed like the longest stint that I've had since being pregnant. So like it's the longest I've ever been and not been pregnant since we got married. And I over feel here. Like,
and that too.
Oh, did you hit that milestone yes. recently?
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but for me, it feels like we turned a corner when I hit. It's just a very different type of experience. Mm-hmm. So I feel that there's an aspect where I want to encourage moms who are still in those tiny baby days. Like they're not that far off for me. And I feel like a lot of the things that I learned, I'm still using in my life now. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it does. And I love that. I can't tell you how many times I've cleaned to do a photo, but it's like, I love the way you phrase that because sometimes I can feel silly about that, but the way that you phrase that is like, no, this is the way that I'm finding beauty and doing some, getting something that needs to be done and getting creative about it and finding the beauty because I'm an Enneagram 4 as well. So I 100% relate to that.
I think it's icky if you make it icky.
Right.
Like, you know, you know your own heart. And like,
yeah.
there is an aspect where you could clean up your house in order to get people to like you and your house better.
Right.
And I feel like if you're not checking your motivation, it can be pretty easy to slide into that type of performance.
That's a good point.
So like, I want to really differentiate the difference between like seeking beauty in your own life and taking create art with it versus being performative. Like, I think there's a difference.
And I think I'm more so talking more about like a flat lay or something where I literally just needed a surface.
Yeah.
Not like I'm trying to make the whole room look like it's perfect.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, that's a good point. All of that is so good. Because I think that there needs to be like that balance of both where we're real and authentic about it, but also there's beauty in that part's okay.
Yeah, for sure.
I think from
what you've talked about, like you were asking about the struggling aspect, like I think a lot of us are struggling during the summer with lack of routine and our normal schedule. Like, it's a lot of fun in early June, and then at some point we hit a wall and it starts to feel a little bit less fun. Do you feel like that's where you're at right now too?
Well, for me, it's a little bit different than normal. I would say yes in normal years. This year, we're majorly renovating, and we're living in it. And so that really is the bulk of things. But also on top of that, yes, like in July, typically, I feel like July is harder than June, kind of like what you're saying, because mm-hmm. it's fun, it's a change, the season, but then it starts to get long and blank almost. Like, we've got to, okay, figure this out.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay, so what would you say about creating a home with healthy habits with our kids?
Yeah.
Like, not just our habits, but our kids, especially spiritually. What does some of that look like for you guys?
For sure. This is one of my favorite topics because I am not naturally there's an element of me that's a checklist kind of person, but I don't want to be stuck in the doing the same thing every day. But I think it was about 2 or 3 years ago. So I always like to put ages on this because inevitably there will be the mom with a 2-year-old who thinks that I'm talking to her. And it's like, this isn't the stage I'm talking about for you yet. Yeah. But when my oldest hit about 6, I started really intentionally creating things that he would do every day as his routine. And it was things that were incredibly helpful to me too. Like, it was, and he loved having the purpose of having a place to fit into our family. And then as time has passed, it's actually become incredibly helpful too. So I think our first little chore chart had make your bed, and I would go in with him every day and help him do it. Put your own dish in the sink and get dressed and put your clothes into the hamper. And so by establishing that habit, then our younger son started doing it even younger than our older son did.
Wow.
Now we have 5 different tasks on the morning routine, and even the 2-year-old is jumping in and joining in. Now they unload the dishwasher and sweep the floor, and they have all of these things that as soon as they get up, they know that they need to do. And then we also have an evening routine. So as soon as dinner's done, we all clean up the table together, we all put the dishes in the dishwasher and work together. And it's so fascinating. As this has become a pattern in our lives, you know how when you buy a red car and all of a sudden you see all the red cars? you start a healthy habit, and then all of a sudden you start hearing about all the studies that talk about that habit, why it works. And so it was interesting. I was reading this thing and it was talking about how as adults, we struggle with depression and acting out more when we don't feel like we have purpose. Mm-hmm. So by gifting mm-hmm. our children with purpose, it allows them to know that the place that they fit into our family and the contribution that they bring. And so I think it's just been a really fun side benefit of that as we were starting out, I didn't quite realize.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's kind of different than the spiritual side of things. And you said about both of them.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to back up a tiny bit because I was going to tell you about how I found Kaleidoscope, because it does tie into this whole thing.
Yeah.
So I found Carolyn Saunders somehow way before all of the Kaleidoscope stuff. We did a collaboration, one of those little stories share, mm-hmm. Almost as soon as stories were a thing. And so that would have been back in 2018, I want to say. And so when she had her book come out with Kaleidoscope, I was like, well, this is an interesting concept. And then they reached out and asked if they could send me a pack of books to do a review and a giveaway. And I was like, sure, send it on over. We'll see. So I opened my package and I flipped open the book. And it was so cool. I had never seen anything like that done before, because my husband and I had taught 3rd grade Sunday school.
I love it.
And It was terrifying, Stephanie. Like, I'm not urban kids. I've done all this stuff, but church kids are terrifying. Thank God. And it's like, I don't have anything to give to y'all. Like, this curriculum is clearly not cutting it. Like, we need to do something way different. And so the idea of something being done to take kids to the next level, because they really want to be taken to the next level, was really cool. And I had said I wouldn't write a book until I was 40, because I had seen too many really young people put both feet into their mouth, and I was like, yeah, I don't want to jump on that train. But when I saw it, I was like, no, this is something I want to do. I want to do this. And so when our collaboration finished, I pitched to that publisher and got the book deal that way. So I think the cool thing about it is, though, is like right as our kids are starting to read, they're developing so many habits that they're going to take into the rest of their life.
And I think if I can interrupt real fast, just to bridge the two, physical, spiritual together, that's why I wanted to start with the physical, because I think exactly what you're saying, both are so tied together. And just as we teach a purpose in life, we tie that with a purpose in the Lord and a purpose of joy and a purpose of togetherness and all of that. So I feel like you're bridging that.
For sure. So like one of the things that my parents did with me growing up is like, you get up, you automatically make your bed, you get dressed to greet the day, and then you eat a portion of Bible, come down, do your breakfast. Then we didn't ever have a dishwasher. We children were the dishwashers. And wash the dishes and then started our school or got wood up or, you know, these things. And like, my day still doesn't quite feel complete if my feet touch the floor and I haven't made my bed. Like, something just feels really off. And I cannot remember a day that I've run around my day in pajamas, just because like my parents had such a routine for us. Like, even when I'm old, I have a department. And so like, as they're getting into this pre-reading thing, to have something written at a middle grade level to hand to them and say, hey, you know, this is for you. Like, you can get up, you can make a bed, you can get dressed and read one chapter of this. And it feels engaging and doable. Like, I think it's giving your kids the tools, and combined with doing it yourself.
I was just going to say, so I'm not like that at all. I would have been more so as a kid, but I've been saying this a lot. I think I've realized through some diagnoses that have happened with my kids that I think I actually have ADHD and never knew it. And so I need the visual reminders as much as they do.
Yeah.
Like, helping them to do those things helps me to do it, because I'm terrible at making my bed. I'm going to just be flat out honest with you. But I feel better when I do it. Duh.
Reduce that visual clutter is such a huge piece.
Yeah.
And I think you're right with the making it visual too. Ours for the kids is a big one that's hung up on the refrigerator. And when I'm really on top of life, like, which isn't always, but when I'm really on top of life, I have one for myself that I print off.
I'm working on that.
It's been so good for them, though, because they're like, Mom, do you do all that stuff every day? And it's like, I sure do. And it's like, I think they thought they were being a little tortured by having five things they had to do. Not really. There's 35 things on my list that I do every day, and like, I just do it. Like, nobody tells me to do it. So I think it was really good for them to see that. And someone pointed out, because I don't know if you saw my stories, I was early this year, I was getting up, like, my body was just waking me up at 6. It was nothing, like, I'm not that fancy, okay? So like, I get up when my eyes open up, and that's 7 or after, but for some reason, my body was waking me up early. But I was doing my devotions when I woke up, because it was quiet. And it's so helpful to do it when it's quiet. And a kind older mama popped into my DMs and reminded me, like, our kids need to see us in the Word of God, even though it's not the quietest, most studious time of our foot, but to be in the Word of God at a time when they're coming in. So, like, we're emphasizing it for them, but then we're also like exemplifying it in us, mm-hmm. and that combined thing is what really ends up helping our kids the most.
Yeah, I think it's so funny that you thought about your own routine too, because that's something we're doing. It's called the Bucket System. It's a course by Sage Family. And we have started implementing it in the summer. And speaking of like summer being hard, we actually started, I think, in May. And any change is hard. And that's what I have to remind myself, that and renovations and all of that. But me being more, what's the word? Holding the boundary of these routines, because I can slip off and be like, oh, let's just not worry about it.
Yeah.
Like that was hard for them and for me. And so that has also added, but now as we keep doing it, like mostly it's been getting so much better. And that is something I keep ordering Rabbit Trail, the wrong size bucket for myself. I've ordered it twice on Amazon and it keeps being too small, but I need to get my own bucket. We each have our bucket and we have clothespins for our tasks. Oh. So I need my own to show them. And that's what I was thinking too. I'm going to have like 35 clips. They have like 8.
Yes. Yes.
So that was the point for that. So yes. Yeah. Okay. So tell us a little bit about your book. It's called Shadows of the King, the story of 1 and 2 Samuel. I'd love to hear about it.
Yeah. So, Shadows of the King is a middle grade level reading book that goes over 1 and 2 Samuel. So it's for that 8 to 12 range where they're reading pretty well, but they're still like at Boxcar Children level, you know, where they need something that's in simpler words, shorter chapters, like not getting stuck in the genealogies. I know that there's a place for that, but there's so many things in the book of 1 and 2 Samuel that are incredible. But it can be kind of buried in some of the language and concepts that they're not familiar with already. Mm-hmm. So like, I don't know when the last time you've gone out into the grocery store and seen a tabernacle, like that never happened. And so taking the time to like, describe what the tabernacle looks like as Samuel and his mom are walking up to the tabernacle. And one of my favorite things to do with it was I did so much research on geography in order to describe what the geography looks like, because I feel like we tend to think of a setting in whatever we're familiar with, I think. And so taking the time to like describe what it's like, what ancient peoples would have been like, what their houses would have looked like. Okay, Stephanie, it blew my mind. I don't know why I never thought about this before. Maybe you thought about this before. But I feel like in the children's Bibles, when we were growing up, like they were just always in tents.
Yeah. But
the Bible covers thousands of years and in tents the whole time. Like it starts out with Abraham in tents during the Stone Age. By the time of David, we're in the Bronze Age on the cusp of the Iron Age, and we've got 3-4 room houses with a courtyard, and so like their barns are kind of attached to their house. But I feel like that wasn't really ever explained in a historical context. And so taking the time to be like, no, this is a more settled people at this point, like, and grounding the story in what the location would have looked like, because they wouldn't have necessarily been as nomadic of a people. Like you hear like Abigail and Nabal and they're still nomadic, but for the most of the story, it isn't anymore. And I think those are some of the details I think we end up losing when we're reading, like when we're giving the kid an adult translation to read. Does that make sense?
Yes, I love that. And I think that just makes it come so alive for kids and for us. And going even back to what you were saying about waking up early versus reading with your kids, I think that this kind of resource that you've written is something that we can get excited about together. We don't have your book yet. I want to get it. But we actually read a chapter out of Acts through Kaleidoscope this morning. And I felt the same way. And actually, I know we need to wrap up here, but I was going to say I did something this morning that is very like against my nature, but I've actually been struggling. And this kind of leads us to our last question about moms who might feel like they're struggling with spiritual habits, maybe even physical ones. They feel burned out and overwhelmed. And if that's you on the other side of the screen, that is literally my life. So feel free to chat with me any day about that. But I did something very counterintuitive, which is I've been just struggling with one of my children, not one I normally, they're usually very chill, but for whatever reason, Bible time or me pulling out a Bible resource, they want to play. They don't want to listen. And so I actually said, okay, you don't have to, I'm not going to make you, I would love for you to join us and I want you there, but I'm not going to make you. And then that child came downstairs halfway through and said, I could hear all of you and everything going on from upstairs, and I'm going to join now. Aww. And I just loved it. And then we ended up having a great conversation, and that was such a win this morning for us.
Yeah.
So I wanted to chat about that. But yeah, so how would you encourage moms this summer who maybe are feeling like these habits are hard right now?
Yeah, they are hard. and I think that's one of the things I didn't realize I was forgetting to breathe so often. Like, mm-hmm. I know, like, it's becoming more intuitive. And then one of the things, this is going to sound so silly, and I haven't realized, sometimes I do it in public and it's not on purpose, but when I was doing a prenatal class to prepare for birth, like, they would have us, like, deep groan. And, like, there are things that our kids do that are actually really good stress relieving techniques.
Yes.
And if you just, like, embrace it and go with it, like, it can help so much. And the other thing I think is not feeling like you have to do everything every day.
Yes.
So there, I don't get into the Bible every single day. When I get into it, I try to prioritize it being deeper. And I heard a Bible scholar talk about that at one point, that it's better to, like, really throw yourself entirely in than just, like, skim read, like, three verses. And I think there's a place for skim reading three verses. I'm not trying to knock that. But taking the time to do whatever you're doing with quality in it, you know, if I have the energy, go ahead and do a read aloud to my kid. And, like, those things add on top of each other and build up to more often good habits than bad habits. Because I think a lot of people think we have to do everything every single day. We get overwhelmed and then we never even start. So
I think that was just a really good reminder for me. So thank you.
Yeah. No, yeah. Particularly with ADHD, like, when you approach something and you don't even know where to start because it's all undone, and, like, picking that one next thing to do can be so hard. And, like, giving yourselves some of those visual cues of, like, a list or a picture of what the room looks like clean, or having something out that it's easy to grab, and not worrying about all of it, but worrying about, like, what can I do next that's going to be a good choice.
Yeah.
And that might also help you. That's helped me. I feel weird saying it, but it helps so much. I have my AirPods in all the time. Mm-hmm. I still hear my kids around it, but it just deadens the noise just enough that my irritability level is so much lower.
Fun ADHD, I lost mine. So,
oh no.
I only had them for 3 months. I keep saying I'm going to order more, but I'm terrified I'm just going to lose them again.
So I misplace things. My husband's trained me to where that they're lost in the same three places 9 times out of 10.
Well, we even moved and I couldn't find them. I'm like, where
are they?
How does that happen? But no, when I have them, I agree. And I've talked about trying to get
they have again. Those, like, loopy earrings. Have you seen
that?
They're earplugs. They're not connected to anything audio, though, and you can order it at three different levels. Like, it can either be fully noise canceling, or it can just be, like, muting, or for people when they're in conversation, like, it just makes it slightly quieter, so you can pick how much quieter you want your life to be.
I love that, because that was a huge thing, as I didn't know until the past few years, probably long. Anyway, fairly recently that a lot of it is that overstimulation. And I don't think moms really, really understand that. And that's between that and just like what you're saying about finding the right time mm-hmm. to do these things with our kids when we can handle it and yeah. when they can. And giving grace when we can't. Like, yeah. that's the biggest thing.
It's not going to be fun if it's not the right time.
Right.
And you're not going to get anything out of it, you know, if it's yeah. not the right timing.
Yeah.
The other thing is, and I think this ties into the end of some Samuel stuff, like, your worth isn't in what you accomplish either. Right. I think when we divorce our identity from our performance, it helps so much.
Yeah.
So learning to see the book of Samuel, not as if you're a good little boy or girl, you too can hear God's voice, or you can be a man after God's own heart, just like David. Like, that's not the point of the story, and that's not the point.
Right.
Our life purpose isn't to replace these famous people in the Bible. The yeah. point those is that there's a rescuer, there's a Messiah who's coming.
Yes.
And anytime we take our eyes off of that hope, or anytime they take their eyes off of that hope and they put their worth or their value in like a new king, or for us, like a spiritual guru or an influencer or a method, or we put our hope in any of these other things that distract us, we're always going to be left disappointed.
Yeah.
And so putting our value as a person in who does Jesus say that yeah. I am,
that yes.
instead of what does my friend think about how my house is clean, yeah. or if the person only knew what a mess I am and behind the scenes of my life, like we can have all of these critical things toward ourselves, critical voices toward ourselves from people who sometimes haven't even spoken to us about yeah. it. Like, we can just assume or conjure up what we think they would think about us. Or
absolutely.
We have one phrase that somebody said to us on a rough day of their own life, and yeah. then we take that as our own personal mantra.
Yeah.
But instead, replacing that with, yes, but who does he say that I am? And what does he say is most important? Is
yeah.
it my kitchen is perfectly clean, or is it kneeling down and holding this small person as they have a meltdown and loving them through it? And yeah. it takes more sanctification to slow yourself down, hug your little person, and focus on what's eternal instead of what's temporary and right in front of us. But
yes.
I think that's part of our journey as moms.
Yeah, I think I was thinking when you were talking, I was like, oh my gosh, light bulb, like, our habits inform our hope.
Mm-hmm.
Our habits lead us to the hope. That's the point of the habits.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. Ah, I have goosebumps. Love it so much. Thank you so much for coming on and taking the time. It was so great to connect with you and hear from you. And I'll be editing this for anybody who wasn't able to stay on or whatever. I'll put our live in the feed, in my feed, and then I'll be turning it into a podcast. So thanks so much, Elizabeth.
Stephanie.
Bye. Bye. Have a good night.
Bye.